Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Dorsey Wright video for Monday, October 22nd. I'm Jay Gragnani.
And I'm Steve Raymond.
And good morning.
Yeah, good morning to you.
End of October is almost coming, and as we were talking about earlier, it feels like end of January here in Richmond. Yeah. Temperatures were in the 30s when we woke up this morning. Got frost advisories going on all over the place today.
Oh, my gosh.
And, you know, just a couple weeks ago, we were coming in here in shorts and a T-shirt.
Yeah.
It's been a bit volatile in the weather pattern here around Richmond, Virginia, and I suspect many of you as well. And we've seen certainly a bit of volatility pick up in the markets here over the past couple of weeks. And, you know, after a very relatively quiet, I should say, first 9 months of the year, the past couple of weeks, the month of October has come in, and we've seen a bit of volatility pick up as a result of that. And it's interesting because now the question is, what's happening with the indicators? What's changing? What's not changing, I think, is another thing too. And where should we be looking for opportunities? Those seem to be the big questions that we're getting today and the things that we're certainly attempting to try and help uncover and provide some perspective on in terms of things that are changing, things that are not changing, and then opportunities to come. With that said, you know, a lot of this conversation that we're having right now, that we've been having over the past couple of weeks, is part of the conversation that we will be having here in a couple weeks in Richmond, Virginia for our Fall Institute, November 7th, 8th, and 9th. I know many of you are signed up for it. We're looking forward to seeing you all here in Richmond. If you're not signed up for it, you still have this week. We're cutting off registration at the end of this week on Friday the 26th. So if you've been on the fence, you've been wanting to come, come on, sign up. We'll see you here in November in a couple weeks. But with that said, you know, let's start with the things that haven't changed a whole lot in the market as a result of this volatility. And one of the things that frankly hasn't changed a whole lot is the long-term relative strength picture for U.S. equities.
Right.
And that's on a couple of different fronts. You look at, for instance, on Dolly, U.S. equities continues to be the number one ranked asset class, as it has been for about 2.5 years now, going back to August of 2016. U.S. equities continues to be number one. We've seen give up a couple signals, but by no means is international equities in danger of taking over that number one spot, nor is U.S. equities really in danger of falling out of that number one spot.
Right, and if you take a look at the score makeup of the market, meaning let's take a look at the ETFs, the mutual funds, the indices that represent all the worldwide tranches of the market. Actually, the S&P 500 strength rose during the volatility, and you could still say it's relatively higher than when we entered the month of October. So the core percentile rank, which measures the relative strength on, you know, short to intermediate term of the S&P 500 type related funds, is at the 98th percentile against all other asset classes around the world. That reading was a little lower before we came into October, but, you know, so really what that tells you is that the centerpiece to a strategy is, where is the big leader? And the big leader is that U.S. core, that equity market. And like I said, the changes we've seen is that it's improved in strength,
yep.
Let alone give up relative strength. And it's important to, again, when you're reviewing investment strategies, you know, from this genre that we're, you know, that we represent, Dorsey Wright represents. I mean, the relative question is always the first one you ask. I mean, where's the relative strength at? And that's where it is in the U.S. equity. And we're pretty confident. Another tangent of that would be, you know, where the relative strength is not. And you know, case number one is non-U.S., where their readings, short-term readings, are you know, really moving south. The relative strength is nowhere close. I mean, the non-U.S. is really pitted against whether we should raise cash or not.
Yeah.
Versus any other question. But there's really not really a notable long-term improvement in relative strength for commodities, for managed futures. Fixed income is so mixed that there are some good spots in fixed income, but the relative dominance of fixed income classes over equity, there's no movement in that relationship. Equity still dominant in that relationship. So that leaves us where, you know, we came into the quarter, you know, with equity dominant thinking strategy, and, you know, we're in the middle of October in heavy turmoil, market turbulence. But we still have equity at the crosshair of what we're looking at.
Well, and you mentioned the turmoil that we've seen. Certainly a number of indicators, namely things like the bullish percent charts, that the BP NYSE, so the bullish percent for the New York Stock Exchange, has fallen from 58% down to 40% over the course of just this month, the past few weeks. And so we've certainly seen a lot of stocks move to being on sell signals after having been on buy signals for quite a while. And that 40% reading is the lowest reading that the bullish percent has seen since early 2016. So going on almost 3 years now that we've seen readings as low as that on the bullish percent. But that's not isolated to that. You look across the board, a lot of other indicators in this vein are seeing readings going back to those January, February 2016 lows. And so, you know, for the bullish percent specifically, though, roughly 3 to 4 years on average is when we have seen that indicator fall to 30% or below. We're at 40% now. So we're not there, but we're certainly running on that time period where it's about the average cycle of how long it lasts between 30% trips on the New York Stock Exchange bullish percent. Maybe this is the time. Who knows? Mm-hmm. We'll see. We'll see where that ends up shaking out. But certainly you mentioned the kind of core market large cap stuff holding stuff up. The small and mid cap stocks certainly a big catalyst in terms of headcount, causing that bullish percent to continue to move lower.
Right. I mean, if you remember your New York Stock Exchange, you know, 62 to 65% of the headcount makeup is small cap.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a 15% or so tranche in mid caps, and that leaves a very minority vote with the big caps, which are really the ones carrying the market. But I think an important point JG just made is that, you know, you've already educated your clients that these bullish percents, they move coastal, they move up and down, you know, periodically over the years. This is nothing new. You've been through it before, time and time again. And as JG pointed out, this might be one that we have to, you know, endure again. But what all those south side bullish percents, all those price support issues may very well lead to great buying opportunities.
Yeah.
And that's where, again, you get back to the relative strength picture, is where's the relative leaders? Who's emerging, if anyone new? Where do we take more capital, and where do we put that money? Maybe a little bit of when. Well, when the storm passes. But the idea that this is some new dawn, that something's happening today that we've never seen, I think that's not the case. We've gone through this year in and year out, waiting for you know, low bullish percents if they present themselves, and if they don't, we go with the relative strength anyway. So what this may do is open up a door for, you know, new investment that you might be ready to pull the trigger as we, you know, get through October.
Yeah. Well, and thinking of the when, you know, that's always the question is, okay, what things can I look at today to help me identify, are we at or close to some kind of short-term bottom? And we'll see. It's always in hindsight that we'll ever know for sure. But as you look across the board at some of the shorter-term indicators, things like the New York Stock Exchange High-Low Index, NYSE High-Low, is one that we'll look at that in many respects has gotten to what we consider to be washed out, oversold type of market environment. That's an indicator that historically 10% and below has been that washed out environment for the high-low index. You're at 8% now, having just moved below 10% last week. And again, that's an indicator. It bottomed back in 2016 all the way at 4%. So it doesn't mean it has to stop here at 8, but historically that's been a very low reading. So if you're looking at indicators, it's only happened, I think it's 9 times going back to 1995. So this, again, it's not every year. It's, you know, every few years that you get these types of environments. One thing to watch, though, is reversal up on an indicator would at least be the first positive sign or first development that maybe we've found a bottoming process here in at least the short to intermediate term perspective. So.
Yeah, and the same thing applies to non-US, which in a similar analogy is kind of washed out in some of those short-term indicators. You know, the non-US bullish percent, which tracks ETFs and mutual funds, is at 4%. And, you know, it may reverse up. It may reverse up a couple times before, you know, gets its pattern straightened out. But nonetheless, you know, those are opportunities that we look for. And that gives us that first sign of confirmation that buy signals are coming back in the market, or that indications are starting to bring the tide the other way. And those are, I think, important to always monitor. But the key thing is as you monitor that, what's the relative strength telling us where to be? When we get to that point in time.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned non-U.S. big news out of China here just over the course of the weekend was positive developments on the tax front there. And, you know, their market, local shares were up 4% or so. And so certainly that would translate into price action on Chinese ETFs, things like FXI. But really, all that is doing is seeing a reversion back towards mean. You're getting things like FXI still in negative trends, still weak from a relative strength perspective. The news has been nothing more than a short-term bounce that's come out of that. So nothing, if you're getting those calls, getting questions about China, you know, there's nothing that has changed really technically as it relates to a lot of these Chinese equity-based ETFs, is that the trends are still generally negative. You've got a reversion in the case of FXI, basically right back towards mean. So again, nothing changing.
Yeah, you know, some of our best chartists have called, reminded me of, is that, you know, China's on a vicious RS.
Not just RSL signal
that I mentioned, but yeah. A vicious one. Yeah. Which, you know, that causes us to kind of rethink things. But keep an open mind. China could turn around, as things go forward. But we never want to lose the main theme, which the main theme is we've got to monitor the big daddy,
mm-hmm.
which is U.S., as the main carrier of the allocation, and then the non-U.S. Comes as a satellite piece that you're certainly trying to take advantage of. The washout in non-U.S. is likely, close at hand, so you would think. But until those indicators reverse up, you don't have the confirmation
yeah.
that the buy signals are coming back in. We do have non-U.S. bullish percents and non-U.S. trend indicators as seen in the fund and ETF world. We're watching them. Not one is in X's. Not one of those types of indicators is in X's. But it gives us something to do,
yeah.
right? You know, to be aware of.
Yeah, and specifically within non-U.S., one of the bright spots has been Latin America
yep.
and Brazil here of late. And so we've seen some rotation. Those of you who are looking at some of our international rotation models, you've seen some rotation inside of that where some of the Asia-Pacific areas rotated out. And the things that have been rotating in, by and large, have been Brazil yeah. moving into some of those models. So, you know, those models are not making a call on U.S. over non-U.S. or just the general health of non-U.S., but trying to look for the relative strength leadership positions specifically and squarely within the non-U.S. camp. And so if there is a bright spot to be had in the non-U.S. side, it certainly is Brazil and Latin America.
And it gives you a glimmer of hope, because remember that Latin America, affectionately called LAM, was one of the first groups to go into the woodshed.
Yeah.
See, you know, so they've spent a lot of time getting tortured. And they came out the other side relatively better than their competitors, vying for your attention and your asset allocation model. So, you know, the idea is that, you know, groups will go through some corrective phases, but they can come out the other side.
Yeah.
And that's important to know. Yeah. And so LAM will be your number one choice in non-U.S. once you've agreed that non-U.S. has any relative strength worth pursuing or trading opportunity worth pursuing.
Yeah, absolutely. Last thing, too, we did want to mention just this week, I know it's on your radars for most of you, but there's a lot of big cap technology names that are due to report earnings this week. We're certainly in the heart of earnings season, so that is a ripe period that volatility continues to be elevated, not necessarily all downside volatility. There certainly are, you know, upside volatility days as a result of it, but there's a lot of the big cap, large cap technology names that are due to report here over the next couple of weeks. And for those of you who may have nervous clients that want to do something proactive in the accounts without selling the positions, is consider protective puts on those positions just to get through earnings season. And we had an article in Friday's report about just that, is buying protective puts on existing positions just to get through the volatility or potential volatility that may come of a stock missing earnings or a stock having record earnings, but the market not seeing that record mm-hmm. earnings or reacting positively mm-hmm. to that. And so, you know, that's certainly something that you can do if you're looking for something to do, looking to be proactive and do so in a little bit more defensive manner on individual stock names. Consider using protective puts here to get through the heart of earnings season over the next couple of weeks.
And another rule of thumb is if you're not sure, you want to go on the left side of the market, which is value, and on the right side of the market, which is growth, certainly go to the middle. Because a middle constructed index, meaning a blend index, can benefit from either or, mm-hmm. Or only one of the two. Doesn't need both to hold its own and to make progress, which is part and parcel why you see the S&P 500 related funds be at the 98th percentile against all asset classes around the world up here for this mechanical reason. So if you don't know where to step right into the middle of the market.
Yeah. So a lot going on in the market. We'll continue to keep you up to date through our daily equity report, through podcasts, through these videos. And as always, we certainly appreciate you joining us this week and look forward to be back on with you next week.